Becky Wagner is here from the Redeemer Learning Center here in Tamaulipas. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning, Jeff.
Happy Thanksgiving week.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, big week here this week. Families coming together and people getting together for all kinds of good reasons. And it's a big time for kids too, especially here in Tamaulipas. They're off all week.
Yes. We have a few extras because the 4K and school age kids are visiting us this week. Their parents are still working, so...
Yes, so that means child care is needed here in Lincoln County, and as I said to preview this conversation this morning, Becky, I've never been good with numbers, but I can tell when numbers don't add up the way they're supposed to add up, and that's where we're at here. Would you call it a child care crisis? Is it just a concern? Are we at a crisis level here in Lincoln County?
I don't know about crisis level in Lincoln County, but it is a very strong concern. We just do not have enough slots to fill for all the parents. So when we did a survey this summer, I'm part of the Dream Up team in Lincoln County, which had got a grant to do more research into this. When we did a survey, we found significant numbers of people either having to leave the workforce or having to find other alternatives to care because they just couldn't find care.
I'm a grandpa now, and I have a one-year-old grandson who is in daycare, and it is a almost a never-ending source of stress and anxiety for mom and dad for a lot of different reasons. And even at, I would even assume in some of the best daycare situations, mom and dad are going to have those feelings anyway, and so I don't want to get political here. I want to take, but you vote a certain way, you get what you get. And so if you don't have the support at government level for child care, we're going to be in this situation for as far out as the eye can see. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And I think, you know, we're not the only state that's having this issue.
Right.
I mean, many states are digging through this issue. Some have come up with other solutions. But it looks like, we're learning that child care can't support itself without some sort of intervention. It's just not realistic. All the aid goes to one of the conversations I had. I said, you're putting all the aid to K-12 education, which is wonderful and important. But when you learn about brain growth and how much happens in the first 5 years, maybe we should put a little bit of funding that way just to, because that's so important.
Yeah, but nowadays, science is even, nobody believes that anymore. So
right.
There's a certain segment. Now, I don't want to be too much of a negative Nelly here this morning, but it is what it is, and there's going to be a certain segment of the listening audience this morning that's going to say, well, parents should think of this before they have kids.
There is, and there is still a certain segment of people that will say, well, mom should stay home.
Yeah.
So we kind of went through that at Redeemer. When we added our addition, we added the infants and toddlers. We still had a few people that are like, well, can't mom stay home? And that's not always an option. Sometimes for mom's sanity, and sometimes just for, they need to work to pay other bills, but
right.
In the end, they end up, most of their salary is paying for childcare.
So we're going to concentrate on Lincoln County because, again, you're part of the Lincoln County group. What's the name of the group again?
Dream Up.
Dream Up. And I think that's a good name for this group. So let's talk about this Lincoln County specific, but you probably know that these numbers are going to probably be transferable to about any other county here in the state and maybe the country.
Yes. Yeah, they're very transferable. I've also partnered with we've talked with the Oneida County and the Langlaig County Dream Up teams and done some work with them, and the numbers are very similar.
Okay, so let's get into it. 76 people here in Lincoln County were surveyed when it comes to child care. Let's get into some of those numbers now, Becky.
Yep, so 14 out of those 76 have kids in multiple locations. That means that they can't take their infant toddler to the same place that they take their preschooler, or vice versa.
When we're going through these numbers now, that's just the first one. So what's going on in my mind right now is the sometimes chaos and bedlam that probably goes along with getting the kids into one vehicle and then to all their different locations.
Right. And then every time you stop at a spot, technically you should take all your kids out of the car.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave them alone in the car. And it makes your commute to work probably three times as long because you got to stop at multiple spots. So,
got it.
39 of the 76, so almost half, over half, are using family members or a friend for childcare, so they're not in licensed childcare. We didn't really get a reading on whether that was financial reasons or because they couldn't find a spot. And then 26 of the participants, so a third of them, have left the workforce.
Hmm.
And 11 have had either a significant themselves for childcare issues. And so 49% of the survey issue had either the parent or another family member had left the workforce in order to, because they couldn't find childcare, to stay home with their child, which sounds great. I love parents being at home with their children. But then we don't have employees other places. So it's a really tricky
And what happens
tricky
to small,
balance.
What happens to small businesses when they don't have employees to work in those small businesses?
Right. Exactly.
They go out of business.
Right. And, you know, and we're short employees everywhere. Every employer I talk to in other sectors, they cannot find even applicants. And childcare is part of the major problem.
60% of the participants had challenges in the last 2 years accessing childcare in the first place.
Yes. So not just even being able to get into that. And some of that, we had a lot of, I don't know what the percentage is in Lincoln County, but I know that about 30% of childcares in Wisconsin closed during COVID due to funding, due to the restrictions, due to other things. And there's not a comeback. There's nobody filling those spots.
On the political side of this in state government, the governor wants to take some of the surplus tax dollars that are already in state coffers, and he wants to do something about this situation. People on the other side of the aisle say, well, let's give each taxpayer $7.25 and split it up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I would hope that the taxpayers would be willing to just let them have let us have the $7.25. We have gotten state funding for the last 3 years since COVID. That has really helped us to be able to stay afloat. We've been able to give our staff raises. They're still not making billions of dollars or anything close to what they deserve. They're still actually right around the average for Lincoln County, which is $12 to $13 an hour. So it's made us a little more competitive. But, yeah, that has helped us. But that funding is so limited because that was all based on federal COVID funding.
Now, closer to home here in Lincoln County, this next paragraph here in my notes this morning, Becky, this one here, for those of us in Lincoln County, this one is very specific and it's very stark and it's kind of scary.
Yeah, 75% of Lincoln County is considered a child care desert.
75% of Lincoln County is a child care desert.
Yes, and how they define that is that there are 3 kids for every 1 spot that's available. So that means that, you know, there's 1 spot, only a third of the kids are being served. That, and now that doesn't mean every kid in Lincoln County needs a spot, but that's how they gauge that out. So 75%, and there are some zip codes in Lincoln County that have no access to childcare.
The household incomes here in Lincoln County, nobody's getting rich here in this county if you're just going and punching a clock, that's for sure. So this is some of the other, we need to cover all these numbers first and before we get the full picture.
Right.
Let's talk about what kind of money we're making here
so,
in Lincoln County.
So, yeah, the average income for a household income is about $56,000, a little over $56,000. And a family with a child in a group setting is going to pay about $9,000 of that in child care. So the government considers 7% of your income as affordable. That's over 16% of your income, so that's almost triple.
Man.
And as I said, that it's not going into the pockets of the teachers. The teachers aren't getting rich. It really is just the cost of care is that expensive.
Well, there's a lot that goes into taking care of a kid every day, and then when you put a whole bunch of kids in one place, there's that number just multiplies.
Right.
Anybody with a kid at home knows what a new kid, even grandparents with a kid coming over to visit for a week know what it does to the family budget.
Yep.
So these numbers just start to multiply real fast.
Exactly.
The average early childhood wage here in Lincoln County in 2023 is what?
So for assistant teachers, it's $12 an hour. For teachers, it's $12.50.
I saw a sign in the Medford McDonald's that said we start people out at $15 an hour to flip burgers at McDonald's, $12 an hour to take care of the most precious thing we have, our kids.
Exactly. And that's the hard thing. You know, when even here in town, Quick Trip, I love Quick Trip, but they're offering $15, $16 an hour. It's a lot less stress.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it's just, you know, here we are, our most precious commodity, and we're paying people $12 or $12.50 an hour. It is hard to find and keep employees at that rate. And so a lot of centers have space to open more space, but they can't find employees.
So it's all you directors that have hit the lottery.
Yeah, yeah. That $20 an hour, that's the average. That I make less than that. And a lot of times directors are salaried, so it's really hard to gauge how much they make an hour.
Okay, so the bottom line is we're not making a lot of money here as residents of Lincoln County. The people that take care of our kids are probably making less.
Right, and our teachers can't afford to, would not be able to afford to send their kids to care. We give discounts for child care, but if they were making that amount and had to send their own children to care, they wouldn't be able to afford it.
Is the answer more daycare centers here in Lincoln County?
If we had
that
the
even
work
doable?
If we had the workforce, that would absolutely be an answer.
But are we filling our daycare centers that we have now with proper staff? They are all proper staffed.
They are staffed. Some of them have rooms that are not open. So we probably, if we had more employees, we could staff more rooms and open more rooms. So there's a couple in Merrill that are needing some employees. They have, you know, I think two of the centers have rooms that are closed because of lack of employees.
One of the holidays today, Becky, is Future Teachers of America Day.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's kind of ironic that, you're here today, because hearing some of these numbers, what is the incentive for people that go into this line of work in the first place, other than just the absolute love of kids? What else is the incentive?
That is the hard thing. You know, we are working with the high school on having, I've been working with the Working with Children class, and we also have a youth apprentice this year from the high school. And it is a struggle to encourage, even as an adult, to encourage people to go into the field looking at these numbers. Because you don't want to, you know, it's hard. It's hard work. If a lot of our teachers are married, so their spouse is helping out with that. The single ones are living paycheck to paycheck. And so the incentive would be, you know, hoping that it gets better. But also, and just, you got to love kids. You got to want what's best for them.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be your passion. If you don't have a passion for kids, you're not going to stay in it.
I think there are some other things, the other side of this conversation is what we're going to get to right now, because there are some, it's not all doom and gloom. There are some answers out there, and some are pretty simple answers. So let's figure out how we can make this situation better without spending a lot of money. So let's get right into that now, Becky.
So, volunteering. We are going to be, hopefully, as the Dream Up team, launching a campaign for Adopt a Provider, where you could adopt a provider and go in and volunteer and help that provider. I'm very blessed to be at Redeemer, where I can get volunteers from church, but the centers that aren't attached to a church don't always have that opportunity. And we would love to have other people come in and see our facility too. So things like helping prepare meals, chopping up fruits and vegetables to help out the kitchen staff. We really focus on having healthy foods every day.
What kind of a pace is that in that kitchen? It's now, for somebody that just misses cooking for kids in general, this might be appealing to them.
It might be, unless
it's such a fast-paced thing.
It really isn't. There's a little bit of flurry right as mealtimes are served, but the rest of the day is pretty easy, well-paced.
Okay.
So, you know, you got about a half hour right before breakfast that you're kind of kicking it, and a half hour before lunch. But otherwise,
it's
pretty
easy. Kitchen time.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, what else?
Helping, you know, the teachers are with children, so helping support those teachers so that they're not doing stuff outside of school or outside of their work day. So whether it's cleaning, whether it's prepping activities, since COVID, we have really stepped up our cleaning, and we continue to. So, I mean, the toys are cleaned almost every day, and having an extra set of hands to do that frees teachers up to do other stuff.
And that, again, that has to be appealing to somebody who just misses being around that stuff.
Yeah. Rocking babies. I know at Redeemer we do, we try to encourage people to come in and, you know, take some time to hold some of our fussy babies that might need that little extra attention, that grandma, grandpa time. They love that.
Yeah, and people are sitting, like, you call that work? My goodness, I'd love to come and do that. I hope people are taking notes and get ready to pick up the phone, because this isn't rocket science here either. When it comes to dropping the kids off and picking up, that's got to be the most hectic time of day for the teachers and the administrators.
It is. It's very crazy, especially they kind of all come in a clump. So we get a lot of our kids from 7 to 8 o'clock, and then most of them leave between 4:30 and 5:30. So, you know, having extra help at those times, you know, if you want to volunteer and come and just sit with the kids so the teachers can talk to parents and get those transitions done smoothly and easily, that's another option, to come on in and have that extra set of hands in the classroom.
And generally speaking, you said you're blessed to be at Redeemer, because you can usually just ask pastor at church time, and anybody who volunteers to come in and help out with the kids, I'll bet the hands probably start going up right away.
It comes and goes, but usually.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're very good about it. If I specifically ask for, you know, specific help, a lot of, you know, and I have my go-to volunteers too. So I know if something's happening, I can say, okay, this summer we lost a cook, and I know this lady who loves to bake. So I said, if I give you these pans, will you make me banana bread and bring them back to me? So she did it at home. She brought the banana bread in the next day. We could have it for breakfast. So even simple things like that help out.
So for people that are using daycare not at Redeemer, if a parent, let's say we've got, I'm just trying to envision something on my mind. We got a single parent dropping the kid off at daycare. That single parent might have a parent that has time on their hands. And, you know, if they say, you know what, I was listening to a conversation on the radio and I hear there's a need for this in the community. I'm too busy to come in and help during these times, but maybe my mom and dad would. So people that are dropping their kids off, if they know somebody like a parent that could help out for just these little bits of time during the day, it would just make the whole experience better for everybody.
Yes. And getting those grandma and grandpa, those newly retireds, or maybe, you know, grandma only works till 3 and she wants to come. We've had grandmas come and visit, which is great. They just, you know, or grandpas and read. We have a reader program where we ask volunteers to come in and call it mystery reader, and they come in and read to the kids. All that little bit, and it's great for the kids to have interactions with different people.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them kind of breaks up their day, and it gives the teachers a moment
to catch up.
Right. Mentally, physically, paperwork, all that. Nope.
They ain't taking a nap.
I've tried to take naps at the same times as the kids, and I get yelled at. So
doesn't work that way. So for people that are interested in volunteering, whether it's through Redeemer or any other daycare center, it's just a matter of speaking up and saying, I know there's a need, so let's talk.
Yeah, it's a matter of just contacting the director and saying, hey, what I would love to volunteer and help out. What are some options? What are some things I can do? Can I read? Can I bake for you? What can I do?
Other calls to action you can think of before we let you go here this morning?
Well, just keep talking about it. So you are, you've started it, and we just keep trying to inform our committee. So technically, we were built on a grant that was a year-long grant. The grant period has ended, but we have decided to stay together as committee and just keep focusing on this because we think it's important. And it actually came out of the housing initiative led into... Well, we don't have enough housing, but we also don't have enough child care, so now they're two separate committees. And so it's been a great collaboration. We have a wonderful team that is just, we've got some people from Merrill, some from Tomahawk, people from Children's, people from child caring, people from the county level, business people. So it's been a great collaboration saying, hey, this is a problem that affects all of us. What can we do?
People that might have time on their hands might be saying, well, I would do this, but my kids are in a daycare in some other county, and I can't drive way over there. You don't have to drive over there.
Yeah.
The needs are in your county here, too, and helping out a kid here is going to be just like helping out your own kid.
Yep. And if you have that desire, we've also been working with the early childhood classes in the school districts to try to get more people interested in the profession. So collaborating, getting those high school kids into the building so they have more experience so they can think about, hey, is this something I want to do with my life? Is this something that interests me? And even if it's not in childcare, it's a good segue into any kind of education program.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just coming on in, we need providers. If you're somebody who is like, wow, I wouldn't mind taking care of a couple kids in my house, becoming a, you know, there are grants and supports for becoming a licensed in-home provider. There are tons of grants and supports for opening a center. And we've been working with a couple of centers in Merrill that want to expand or might want to become licensed. So our goal as a team is to just keep building the supply.
And if you care about kids and you're a voter, contact the people that you're going to vote for and say, we've got a lot of money excess here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's use some of it to help these kids.
Exactly.
Pick up the phone and call the people in Madison and do that.
Yeah, I never thought I'd be advocating, but the last 3 years I've been writing letters and emailing
people.
You've
talked to a few yourself.
Yes, and it helps them to know. Some of them just have no idea. They don't have kids.
Seriously.
They don't have... we have a few younger legislators who just don't have... They're like, oh, this isn't... So it's good to just sit down and talk and put it on their radar and let them know, hey, this is what's happening.
Good. If you have kids, you should care, and most of us that have kids definitely care. So, Becky Wagner, we are sure glad that you're here at Redeemer, and for all the people that do this job everywhere that's listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. And let's encourage young folks that this can be a very rewarding career, maybe not necessarily in the wallet, but rewarding in a lot of other ways.
Exactly. I mean, in the end, you can't take it with you. So if you can make your ends meet, then that's what's important. And just keep your eyes out. We got some billboards coming up in Lincoln County to tell people about Dream Up and to encourage more people to join. And there's been we had a full page ad last week in the paper with this information. So if you didn't catch everything Jeff said, all the stats and stuff are in that ad in the leader.
Got it. Becky Wagner, thanks for being here this morning. Thanks for taking care of our kids. And, gosh, I hope this situation starts getting better.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much.